Today's reading is taken from Ephesians, starting to read at chapter 2, verses 1 to 10, and then just a little bit from chapter 4. So Ephesians 2, verses 1 to 10. If you wanted to follow it, it's on page 1173 on the Pew Bible. And to note, it's entitled Made Alive in Christ. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Then chapter 4, starting to read at verse 29. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God.
Thank you. Just before we dip into thinking about kindness, I want to do a few notices. So this summer we're hoping to take some of our young children on camp, and if you are a parent or a carer of a young person who you wish to send on camp, you've got 2 weeks to sign up. And you should have had an email with a link on to do so. If you haven't, see me and I'll make sure you get a link so that you can sign your children up to send them away. Next summer, 2027, some of us are hoping to go on a trip to Bogota to spend a couple of weeks working alongside New Hope for Children. And again, you have 2 weeks to get your name on the list of people who are going to do to be on that trip. And so you can either see John or Helen after the service today, or if you email John to get your name on that list for that trip next year. In 2 weeks' time, on Sunday morning, so that's the 5th, the baptistry is going to be opened and hopefully filled and warmed. We have Morpeth Baptist Church coming to us in the afternoon for some baptisms, which is really wonderful. But as a number of people on the leadership team suggested, as the baptistry will be open and filled and warmed, what an opportunity for anyone among us who might like to be baptised to do so first. So if you would like to find out more about what baptism is or what it means, or if you would like to be baptized in a couple of weeks, please do talk to me after the service today, and we can chat about how that might work, and what would happen. What a great joy it would be for Morpeth to turn up and find the water already a little bit dirty because we've been using it all morning. And finally, in terms of notices, we have a church members meeting here on Thursday at 7:30. It's in the building or on Zoom. You should have received your agendas. If possible, if you can respond on Church Suite to let us know whether you're going to be here or not be here, that would be really helpful, so we know the sort of numbers we're expecting. One of the things we're going to be doing is picking up on what we believe that God has been saying to us through our conversations and indeed through the week of prayer that we had at the beginning of the year, and church leaders have continued to be praying about. And the church leadership team on Thursday is going to be asking church members to start thinking about what could be a major development in the life of our church. And so we would really appreciate it if you can be here on Thursday, if you came along to hear about that. And if you're sat there thinking, oh, I really want to know what that is, but I'm not a church member, so I'm not allowed to go. Well, if you talk to me or a member of the CLT after the service, we can tell you how to become a church member. This week is week 6 in our series on the fruit of the Spirit, and we've been thinking about how the Holy Spirit works in us to make us more like Jesus, growing fruit in our lives that enables us to reflect God. And we've been thinking particularly about how great it is for us to worship a God who is loving and joyful and peacemaking and patient and kind and good and faithful and self-controlled, and how good it is to be part of a family of his people who are also like this, at least some of the time. We have thought about how these are not individual fruits which we can pick and choose from, but they are different aspects of one fruit that the Spirit grows in us. We've thought about how we can make our lives fertile ground for such fruit by focusing on God, and about how maybe love sums up the fruit and how true love always seeks the best for others. We've thought about joy and how good it is to be able to have joy even in times of difficulty, because our joy is founded on Christ and not on circumstances. We've thought about how we are called to be peacemakers rather than lovers of conflict, how God's kingdom is a place characterized by harmony in our relationships. We have thought about how patience means refraining from an angry response when we are harmed, being slow to anger, leaving space for forgiveness and reconciliation. And next week, we're going to take a short break in our series to think together about the work of Tear Fund. And if you haven't already signed up to say that you're coming to the international meal on the board over here, please do so this morning. Do come along. Last year, it was fantastic. There was good food and good fellowship. And it is a really great way to support some of the poorest people in our world, which is most definitely a kind thing for us to all be doing, which is good because this morning we are thinking about kindness. I have to start with a confession, I think. I'm not completely sure what kindness is. And I think that's partly because, you know, when you say a word too often and it seems to lose all meaning, some words you say 10 times and it starts to lose meaning. Kindness and kind, I think, is the sort of word where you just say it 3 times. It's like, I don't know what that means anymore. I've got no clue. It is strange. And most of the time when the New Testament talks about kindness, it is part of a list. So Galatians 5, it's one of the 9 aspects of the fruit of the Spirit. In Colossians 3, it's one of 5 attributes to clothe ourselves with. In 1 Corinthians 13, it's one of 15 characteristics of love. And so because it's so often sandwiched with all these other things, sometimes it's difficult to pry apart what is distinctive biblically about kindness. And as I started preparing for this week, as I was reading and getting ready for today, there was one question that kept coming back to me, which is, what is the difference between kindness and goodness? Because goodness is the sermon I'll be preaching in 2 weeks' time, so it would help to know the difference between being kind and good. And you know what? I asked my small group on Tuesday, and they were useless too. They didn't know either. They looked at me as if they were expecting me to know. And we will think about goodness. And I think I have an answer, which I think is an okay one. I think we should be there. Kindness, which we're thinking about today, is an attitude that is expressed through the way we act. It is the love and peace and patience that we've been talking about extended to those we encounter. Last week we talked a bit about patience and how patience is how we respond to those who have done us harm. And maybe kindness is that same sort of response but extended to everyone, to all of those we come across. On the other hand, goodness is about knowing the right thing to do, the thing that is good to do. So kindness maybe is closely linked to compassion, and goodness maybe is more closely linked to justice. Does that make sense? Goodness is the good thing to do, and kindness is the compassionate thing to do. And I think that we will find that sometimes there is a tension between those things, the right or the good or the just thing to do and the compassionate thing to do. And I think it's the tension that some of us feel when we listen to the story of the lost sheep, where we all know that the good and right thing to do is for the shepherd to make sure that those 99 sheep are cared for and looked after. But maybe the kind and compassionate thing to do is what the shepherd in that story does and goes to seek out the lost one. We'll explore maybe that tension a little more in a couple of weeks when we talk about goodness. But it's worth noting that maybe the good thing to do, the right thing to do, is not always the most kind. For this morning, I think what we'll do is we'll start by looking at some examples of people and actions in the Bible that we might call kind, and maybe that will give us some insight into what it means to be part of a kind community. In the book of Joshua, as the people of God get ready for a battle, some spies are sent into the city of Jericho, and there they find a woman named Rahab who offers them a place to hide from the city officials. Rahab is, we are told, kind to them. She looks after the spies. And the result of her looking after the spies, protecting them from her own people, is them promising that they will be kind to her and to her family when the army attacks. There is kindness in sheltering someone from violence. Maybe sheltering someone from violence is the very least we might do. There's an interesting story in 2 Samuel 9 where we find David, who has recently become king. David has had a complicated relationship with the family of the previous king, who was called Saul. Saul was initially David's mentor and became his enemy. But Saul's daughter was David's wife, and Saul's son Jonathan was David's friend whom he loved. And the normal thing to do when you have led a revolution, as David did, when you have kicked off a civil war and killed the old king and become king yourself, the normal thing to do is to kill every member of the old king's family so that there is no one who could come back and challenge you for the throne later on. There is no legitimate claim. And you know, that's mostly what David did, through years and years of war. But in Joshua 9, David, now comfortable having won those battles, specifically asks if there are any members of Saul's family left, because he wants to show them kindness. He is motivated by the love that he had for Jonathan, who is now dead. And David wishes to be kind to a member of his family. And they find Mephibosheth, Jonathan's son, and David does something very unusual. He gives Mephibosheth back the land of his ancestors. Though you are conquered, I will give you back what once belonged to you. And he offers Mephibosheth a place at his table, at the table of his king. A place where he will not only be fed, but where he will have power and influence, because he will be one of the few who is able to speak to the king and influence the king. Because of his love for Jonathan, David treats this man not as a defeated enemy or a potential enemy in the future, as others would, but as a respected ally. And this, maybe, is what kindness looks like. Maybe it also looks like Tabitha, who in Acts 9, we are told, was always doing good and helping the poor. Maybe it looks like Lydia, who in Acts 16 opens her home to Paul and Silas to come and stay. Maybe it looks like Jesus healing and teaching, even when he was exhausted, motivated by his compassion, washing the feet of his disciples, because it was a job that needed to be done. And Jesus' life, I think, is a great example of the kindness of God. Romans 2 reminds us, God has been kind and forgiving, that by his grace we have been given space to repent, to turn to him. Titus 3 tells us that it was the kindness and love of God which sent Jesus to live and to die and to be raised, so that even though we were sinners, we might be saved. His kindness is in saving us, not because we are righteous, but because he is gracious. In Ephesians 2, which Alison read to us, God's kindness, Paul says, is rich in mercy. It loves with great love. It has saved us and raised us up. Paul tells us that the kindness of God is shown to us in Jesus. And Jesus was a man who filled water barrels with wine so that his hosts wouldn't be shamed when the wine ran out. He was a man who spent time with those that others ignored or brushed past, talking to beggars, healing those with diseases that prevented them from coming into town, taking note of the unclean and the unwashed and the unwanted, gathering the unimportant, the little children around himself, and making them an example of righteousness. Choosing to eat not just with the most respected, but with the most despised. In a world where most people's first priority is themselves, Jesus spent his time looking at others and seeing them. He spent time speaking to women that he should not have spent time with. He went to sinners and with compassion urged them to turn from sin. He healed and drove out demons and showed people what God's kingdom would look like. And you know, I wonder if Jesus' kindness is not really more powerful than his miracles. Yes, he gave sight to a blind man, which is incredible. But he, a respected rabbi, also chose to spend time with Zacchaeus, right? A man that everyone hated. And in showing Zacchaeus kindness, he transformed not only his life, but also the lives of all those people that Zacchaeus had cheated in the past. Yes, Jesus commanded the storms, but he also prevented an angry crowd from stoning a woman and gave her a second chance at life. Yes, Jesus rose from the dead, defeating death, the most powerful miracle of all. But he also hung on the cross and died so that our life with God might be restored. Kindness, I think, sometimes seems like such a weak word. But what power there is in being kind to those who have not known it or might not expect it. What power there is in the kindness of God, which instead of seeing us as sinners, failures, and broken, sees us as beloved children with the potential to shine like stars. And then, and then goes out of its way to help us realise that potential. My message to you this morning is really quite simple. Be kind, because kindness transforms lives. It transforms situations. It transforms the way people think and feel. Kindness can turn someone's bad day into a good one, an awful week into a great one. Kindness, love in action, doing good, being nice, can change the world one person at a time. And kindness is our calling as the people of God. I cannot tell you how often when my children were small, I had to say, kind hands, to them. I don't know if you've ever tried saying kind hands. It's usually because they're snatching or pinching or hitting. And what I wanted them to learn is that we should have kind hands. We could use our hands to do those things, to be selfish or violent or mean, but we can also use our hands to be generous and caring and compassionate. And as a church, the call is for us to have kind hands and kind words. It is a call to imitate a God who has been kind to us in Jesus, who has shown us what kindness looks like through Jesus. Look at the end of Ephesians 4, the second passage that Alison read to us. God is not bitter or snide or rude or deceitful, is he? The ultimate display of God's grace is his kindness to his people. He is compassionate and forgiving and kind. God is not stingy or mean-spirited or small-minded. He is generous and loving and kind. And just as David's motivation for his kindness towards Mephibosheth was the loving relationship that he had with Jonathan, so our motivation for being kind to others should be our loving relationship with Father God. I wonder if sometimes we think of kindness as a sort of optional extra to our Christian faith. We know that we need to love, but maybe what I can do is exercise tough love. That's okay. I can love. I'm going to do the tough love thing, though. We think that if it's good for someone, it's okay to do. And maybe being kind is less important. Maybe an example of that will help. It's like your auntie telling you that you've put on weight and should lay off the cakes, right? Maybe she is really only trying to help. Maybe she thinks she is doing the loving thing and she wants you to be more healthy. But I would ask, is that a kind thing to say? We know we are called to be truthful, but we can use it as an excuse for when we say things that we know are going to hurt people, which we know are not kind. We hide behind being truthful or right or loving, and we forget that kindness is also a fundamental part of being the people of God. We fall all too easily into being mean and judgmental and then justifying it to ourselves. Sometimes, maybe even often, kindness will require us to be long-nosed, slow to anger. It will need that forgiveness and patience. It will mean looking to the needs of our neighbour ahead of our own. It will mean thinking about how our words and actions might impact the lives of those around us. It means cultivating an awareness of others so that we can act appropriately. It means thinking not just about what we are going to say and do, but how we are going to say and do it, so that our words and actions are not only true and loving and just, but also gracious and kind. Being right is not an excuse for being unkind. And what a wonderful thing it is to be part of a family, part of a community that is loving and righteous and kind, where we feel seen and understood and accommodated. Our church value of welcoming, I think, leans into this. And sometimes it is the little things. We have a big basket at the back of ear defenders and fidget toys, which communicates to people as they come in that we sometimes understand that you need to fidget, or that the world might feel a little overwhelming for you. And if that's true of you, you are still welcome here. It's a kind and easy thing to do. It can have a big impact. How great it is to be part of a church where we do not get upset when people of any age are making a bit of noise, welcoming people at a side door while I'm trying to speak, or need to nip out to the toilet, or have sat in the seat that we normally sit in. A church where we offer to help one another, where we muck in and serve, where we check in on one another during the week. How wonderful to be part of a community, a family that cares. And we don't get it right all the time. And honestly, you might be sat there this morning thinking that this church has not already always been very kind to you. And if that is the case, I am sincerely sorry. And if there is something that we can do to be better at this, to be more kind, please do let me know. This morning, before we turn to the table where we will remember the kindness of God which has lifted us up and redeemed us, I want us all just to spend maybe a minute or two thinking about how we can be more kind. I'm going to spend a short period in silence in a moment, and here's what I want you to do. I want you to think about one person that you can show kindness to this week. Maybe a family member or a neighbour or a colleague. It might be someone that you see every day or someone that you have not seen in a long time. But think about someone you can show kindness to and think about what you're going to do. Make it something different. So, you know, if you always bring the neighbour's bins in, I'm not asking you to just go, well, I can tick this one off really easily because I'm always kind. Maybe think about something different to add a bit of kindness. If you've got a bit of paper or a phone with you, I would encourage you to write it down. Make that commitment, the name of the person and the thing you're going to do, in order to add a little more kindness into your world this week. And maybe once you've done it, you can pick someone and something else and do it again and again. And maybe in this way we will all see the fruit of the Spirit grow. So let's just be quiet for a minute or two and think about how we are going to show that extra kindness this week.